Let's read a few verses, warm up here. You can take down some notes. And we'll be getting started here. We'll pick up where we left off last week. Here's something about true repentance. We'll see this on the Testament of Gad. The Testament of Gad. The patriarch says, this is what he says about repentance. He says this, true repentance after a godly sort destroys ignorance. There's another point of discernment. If the mystery of Christ is hid from the heart, it's because true repentance wasn't initiated. Because true repentance has to do with that embracing all the things which are a sign for our faith. The gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. True repentance is, this is the godly sort, is after a godly sort. It's pursuing the things God sanctified. And also brings more grace because it destroys ignorance. So it destroys ignorance and drives away the darkness. And that's what grace does. It removes that shadow of doubt. We'll talk more about that. It drives away the darkness and enlightens the eyes. Of course, this is what Gad also experienced, the enlightenment of the understanding. And gives knowledge to the soul and leads the mind to salvation. And Gad's reflecting upon the dreams and the visions, which not only that he had, but also his brothers had, and regarding the covenant with God, which God made to Abraham, his grandfather, or great-grandfather, Isaac, his grandfather, and Jacob, his father. Okay, and that's on the Testament of Gad, chapter 1, verse 32. Do further studying on that. Okay, Gad also is bringing out a point of conflict of God's chastisement upon him. And here he says, and also in Testament of Gad, chapter 1, how God brought upon him a disease. And of course, the Lord showed Moses the same thing. God brought upon Moses a disease and then removed it. So here he says, for God brought upon me a disease of the liver, and had not the prayers of Jacob my father helped me or secured me, all right, I had hardly failed, but my spirit had departed. So it's interesting. He gives references to the prayers of the stewardship of his father. The prayers of the stewardship of his father carried him. And he goes on here, for by what things a man transgresses, by the same also is he punished. Since therefore my liver was set mercilessly against Joseph, in my liver too I suffered, and was judged for 11 months, and for so long a time as I had been angry against Joseph. Kind of interesting, and Reuben also testifies the same thing. He had a plague for 7 months, 7 months in his loins. Which was a judgment for his transgression. And this is a testament of Gad, chapter 1, 34 through 36. Yeah, I think we might have time for one more. Testament of Gad, chapter 2, 5 through 7, about disclosing not secrets. And he says here, let not another man hear your secrets when engaged in legal strife, lest he come to hate you and become your enemy and commit a great sin against you. For oftentimes he addresses you guilefully or busies himself about you with wicked intent. And though he deny it and yet have a sense of shame, when reproved, give over reproving him. Here we can see Gad is reflecting upon his own hard feelings against Joseph. For he who denies may repent so as not again to wrong you, which of course we see happen with the event that took place when the patriarchs went to Egypt, and Joseph made himself known to them. So for he goes on here, for he who denies may repent, which he did, so as not again to wrong you. Yes, he may also honor you and fear and be at peace with you. Okay, and that's out of the Testament of Gad. And we're going to get started in here. So everyone has their Bibles open to Ephesians. All right, and we're going to start around verse 24. We'll read up to that. Okay, whereas we read about putting off and then putting on. He says we're putting off the former conversation and we're putting on the new conversation, the new language of the covenant. Okay, we're putting on a new language of Jesus Christ. And this is what he brings out right here, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Gentiles there in Ephesus. It was also in Ephesus that the doctrine of Nicolaitans began to take root. Okay, when of course the doctrine of Nicolaitans, the Lord addresses that, and he says, which things I hate. Revelation chapter 2. Okay, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. So we see the Apostle Paul is also picking up on the same theme, okay, and assisting the saints there at Ephesus, okay, freeing them from that perspective of corruption, mixing covenants or stacking covenants, mixing or stacking covenants. Of course, we know that Jesus fulfilled all things in himself, which has better promises, okay, which established upon a better covenant, as Paul brings out in Hebrews. So here we can see the Apostle Paul is addressing the saints at Ephesus, and he talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Okay, and putting off, we see that in verse 25, putting away lying. We'll be talking more about that. So in verse 24, he goes on that you put on the new man, okay, which has to do with that law of grace. And of course, the putting on the new man requires, okay, that baptism of fire, okay, the love baptism, the baptism of fire, which anointing, okay, is salting the knowledge. Okay, the anointing is salting the knowledge. So it should put on the new man, which after God is created. You can write the word created there, because he's making something new again. Okay, he's tearing down and building up. He's plucking up and planting. Okay, as we see the testimony in the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay, and the Lord also testifies of these things, okay, of himself, and regarding the cycles, okay, the cycles of the weeks, as well as also the cycles of your growth. Okay, the new heavens and new earth, okay, are the new planting of the Lord. Okay, and this is a reflection of what God is doing within your own soul. A new planting is taking place. Okay, because you're putting off the old and putting on the new. Okay, the new language which you're speaking, okay, is a new form of communication, which before was absent of your understanding. Okay, it was absent of your form of communication. Okay, but now it is a sustainer of your faith. Okay, the language of the covenant is a sustainer of your faith. So we're putting on the new man. And God is rewriting your history. He's rewriting your history by giving you a new law. Okay, of course, after Adam transgressed, okay, the history was now a new writing. Okay, but after he transgressed, a new memorial was established in himself, a memorial of transgression, which had to be rectified, so that you put on the new man, okay, which has to do with the fire baptism of Christ's priesthood after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron. When he says after the order of Melchizedek, okay, is not that which is appointed by genealogy of the flesh. In other words, the flesh cannot glory in this new priesthood. The flesh cannot glory in this new priesthood. Okay, and Paul brings that out. Okay, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing regarding a new priesthood which will arise. Not after the order of Aaron, that is a Levitical priesthood, which had to do with the earthly sacrifices of death. Okay, and this is what the prophet brings out. He's going to give us beauty for ashes. Okay, the ashes represent that which is the law, and the law represents that which is the weakness of the flesh. Okay, the weakness of flesh. Okay, the fire devoured the flesh. Okay, which shows that the fire is the fire of his baptism. Okay, will remove the testimony of Satan in the flesh. So the sacrifice was consumed upon the altar. Okay, when the lamb or the ox or the goat, okay, was offered upon the altar, the flesh was consumed to ashes. Okay, which shows that the perspective of man was as a brute beast. Okay, and that's because of defiled conscience. The defiled conscience, okay, is that which is concealed from the light. So the brute beast is a concealed conscience from the light. So great darkness came upon the kingdom of Pharaoh, so that it paralyzed and immobilized everybody. Darkness immobilizes faith. Okay, and it also great darkness is going to come upon the seed of the beast. Okay, which represents, okay, that which is a defiled conscience. All those that bear the defiled conscience are immobilized in their faith. It shows a restriction of movement. See, but when you're putting on Christ, you're putting on, okay, that light. Okay, and with that light, okay, we have mobility, because his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Okay, it lightens, okay, the direction in which we go. It gives us wisdom. So that we're now putting on the new man here in verse 24. That you put on the new man which after God, okay, is reflecting his likeness now. Okay, and by this he's governing our destiny. Okay, our destiny is now being governed according to the blessedness of Christ. Okay, and not according to the curse of the law. Okay, we know that by the curse of the law, Israel went astray. Okay, and going astray, okay, also represents that which the captivity of the flesh. Okay, but now we have received, okay, those things which now have awakened us. Okay, the knowledge of his kingdom has now awakened our conscience as those that are raised from the dead. Okay, and now that we're risen with Christ, okay, we have the mobility for multiplication. Okay, the dead cannot multiply. The living multiply. The law works death. So there is no multiplication, which means there is no fruit bearing. Okay, but grace gives life, which means there's fruit bearing. Now we can be fruitful and multiply, okay, according to God's perspective, which is his joy. So that you put on the new man, which after God has created. So I said, highlight the word created there. We're now being formed again. Okay, we're being formed again, but not that of the soil. Okay, but that which is of paradise. Not that which is the earthly, but that which is of the heavenly. Upon the transgression of Adam and Eve there, the Garden of Eden, okay, was removed. Because as long as the Garden of Eden remained within this dimension, okay, it was a light to this world. Okay, it was light to this world, but the testimony of it, okay, was not testifying of what was not testifying of Adam. Now the fallen watchers used the light of paradise, okay, as a witness to the direction which they were taking Adam, Adamites. They use it as a witness, which is a false witness. Okay, just like Satan quoted the Bible. Satan was quoting the Bible, which is, of course, which is the word was his light. Okay, but it was a false witness. He was using it for the aspiration. As the fallen watchers used the light of paradise and the Shekinah upon it as a witness, which is a false witness for themselves. And they led Adamites astray. They led Adamites into the depths of iniquity for the aspiration, for the expression of all its nuances. Okay, the variable of darkness became the common ground and the standard. The variable became the standard. We can see the same thing today. Okay, the variables of life become the standard, removing the power of the constant, which is, of course, faith in Jesus Christ. But when Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom on earth, he's removing the variable because Satan would have been cast out of heaven, okay, out of the first heaven. Okay, and of course, by that time, he was taken to the abyss. Okay, so Jesus, okay, is the constant, okay, removing the variable. Truth is our constant, removing the variable of iniquity. When the variable is present, that means defenses are removed. Okay, defenses are removed. Okay, like when you're moving into a new subdivision, we moved into a new subdivision back in the early 60s. And this was a newly built subdivision. Okay, and all the houses were aligned, okay, which of course were aligning around the streets. And between the houses was all open field. Okay, there were no fences up yet. And because there was no fences up yet, which shows that you can move from one block to another block, okay, by crossing the field, okay, which of course the kids did. The kids used the open fields there for playing soccer or football, okay, or baseball. Okay, and so it was open for, okay, quite some time until one resident decided to put up a fence. Okay, and once that resident put up a fence, all the other residents began to put up fences. They began to establish a consonant for the property to identify the property lines. Of course, the identification of property lines also, they were able to put in the improvements, okay, and building improvements. They began to build garages and put up sheds, okay, gardens, okay, and other things to which, okay, without those boundaries, it would have been the neighbor would have been using the shed or the garage, okay, or using your property to plant crops in. So the boundary lines were set up to identify, okay, certain restrictions of each resident, okay, of each home. Okay, we can see that, okay, when Noah came out of the ark, there were no boundary lines. Okay, the earth was open to him, which the Lord said. And as far as he could look, there was no man upon the earth other than his family, immediate family. Okay, no boundary lines were set. There was only one language. There was only one faith. There was only one stewardship, okay, and everything lied before him, okay, to be fruitful and multiply and to expand, okay, until again the fallen watchers began to rule, okay, then, and the languages were confused, okay, and the sinners began to establish boundaries to call themselves after the language of their, okay, of the cultures which they began to create. They began to create cultures and tradition according to darkness, of course. They began to set boundary lines and began to war in order to establish dominion over one another in the days of Nimrod. Okay, which we can see, okay, globalization is remove all boundary lines. That's what globalization is. Okay, and also to remove nationalistic, the conscience of being nationalistic, okay, of your nation. Okay, like the world is going to be like as under one flag. Like you would see on Star Trek, okay, the Federation of planets now coming under one rule, okay, for the purpose of control or peace and security. So we can see the mindset, okay, of the Antichrist spirit, which is, of course, to remove the barriers for the purpose of his own control, to control and to destroy. Hey, globalization. This was a goal back in, the knowledge of it was being established back in the early 80s. Okay, of course, now we can see the nations are moving towards that. They're making deals behind closed doors. Okay, trade deals, monetary deals, economics. Okay, political. New laws, okay, which will be establishing. Okay, they want peace and security. They want peace and security, so this is what they're doing. And the, God is behind this. Okay, in order to bring the expression of his wrath against all ungodliness, okay, and wickedness. Okay, so God establishes certain boundaries for the purpose of identification. He gave that to us in the form of truth. By these things, we know what the points are for our responsibility, okay, concerning government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, and the gifts and the callings and the graces of God. Okay, God is establishing a new rule for us, okay, for this expression. So what God establishes, Satan abominates. And what Satan wants to establish, God abominates. Okay, and of course, God is the greater. Okay, the witness of God is greater than the witness of man, because he is our creator. Okay, and God's creating within us new boundaries. Okay, things which before were unattainable. Okay, whereas in our ignorance, we tried to serve those things, okay, which we thought were honorable, okay, and praiseworthy by the world. And the world does that. The aspiration, you know, those things which the world pursues, for those things which would bring honor, and those things which bring or identify as praiseworthy. But of course, we follow after Christ, okay, which the world does not value. Okay, if it valued the covenant, then there would be peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Okay, and this was so announced by the angels. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man, because the peacemaker was here. Jesus Christ was born. Okay, and he was going to bring redemption for man, to remove the curse, beginning within the conscience, okay, and then redemption of the body, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, that you put on now the new man. We're back in verse 24 of Ephesians here. Put on a new man, okay, which after God, okay, is reflecting his likeness now. He's governing our destiny by this fire charity. Okay, is created in righteousness. Cite the word righteousness there, because we're talking about a new standard. Okay, a standard which was out of reach of ignorance, but now in reach of faith. Okay, so now we can see the elements: grace, faith, righteousness. You meet the standard of God by this new creation through the work of regeneration. Okay, God is remaking you. Okay, he's remaking the soul, as he's going to remake a new heavens and new earth. Because the first heavens and the first earth will be destroyed by fire. So we can see the anointing consumes that which is weaker. The anointing consumes that which is weaker. It'd be consumed by fire. Okay, and he's going to establish new heavens, new earth. Okay, wherein dwells righteousness, as Chief Elder Peter brings out. Okay, wherein dwells righteousness. There'll be one standard which be recognized. Okay, one standard be recognized. So that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness, this one standard, okay, and true holiness, which is, we also know that there's, if there's a true holiness, we know there's also a false holiness. a true holiness and a false holiness. Now, true holiness, which means, okay, as this is the original standard, and God established the original standard in Jesus Christ himself. God established it in himself to redeem us to himself. So the holiness here, which has to do with the removing, okay, the removing and the joining, a circumcision takes place. Okay, a true holiness, which is within the heart. This is for the increase of fruit by a new priesthood. Okay, so this priesthood, instead of the priesthood of consumption, is the priesthood of building, bonding and building and sowing. Okay, the priesthood under Moses was a priesthood of consumption. Okay, everything was consumed by the fire of the altar, okay, or eaten. Okay, or the meat of the altar was consumed, as also the showbread. Okay, the oil of the lamp. Okay, everything, okay, was consumed. It had to be sustained from a power outside of itself. The flesh needs to be sustained by a power outside of itself. Okay, but true holiness has to do with sustaining of a power which is in the inner man. The power which is in the inner man, and so also is Christ. Okay, self-eternal. Okay, the Lord engrafting himself within us is sustaining our soul, not by consumption, but by building. Okay, laying up ourselves treasures in heaven, okay, which is ever increasing in value. The treasures in heaven, the rewards of our faith, okay, are awaiting us, concerning the crown, the overcomer's crown, okay, the robe of righteousness, okay, access to the tree of life, okay, as being a pillar in the temple of God, okay, also sitting in the throne of God, okay, everything of the kingdom of light is perpetual. Okay, it's not for the purpose of sustaining that which is of death. Okay, the consumptions of the things of this world is to sustain the things that are temporal, okay, and the things that are dying. Okay, but yet God has given us hope by the resurrection, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay, that we shall live again in newness of life, beginning with the state of the conscience, a newness of perception, the purifying of the conscience by faith in Jesus Christ, okay, and a soul that now carries a testimony of life, which before, in our ignorance, we carried a testimony of death, and our memorial was iniquity. Okay, its roots were abomination to God. Okay, they were accursed of God. Okay, and everything that's accursed of God, okay, must be consumed by fire. And so the Lord prepared places of torment, okay, as hell and also the lake of fire. Okay, the lake of fire is a place of torment for the works of death. That's why death and hell will be cast in the lake of fire. Because death and hell bears the testimony, and all those that bear that testimony of death and hell are also cast in, okay, with their parent. Okay, where Satan also be cast. Okay, and all those that bear the testimony of death, that all those that have the mark of the beast. Okay, wherefore putting away lying, he says here. Okay, because now we have put on true holiness. Okay, for the increase. So we're putting away lying. I like the word lying there. So because we're now speaking charity. By speaking charity, we're banning the voice of guilt, of doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition. Okay, guilt, okay, doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition. We're putting away something. See the word true holiness now. Okay, we're putting on true holiness by abandoning these things. Okay, through the cycles of your growth. All you have to do is just be patient and long-suffering. Okay, we're enduring unto the end, which Jesus says, he that endures unto the end shall be saved. So we are occupying, okay, this dimension. Okay, and as we're occupying this dimension, okay, we are conquering, okay, these things, these fears. Okay, we're conquering the tokens of death, even as Jesus conquered death and hell. He has the keys. And we also receive this key, okay, the key of conquering. He that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Okay, as we see there in the book of Revelations chapter 3. So we're putting away lying, which is the record of man. Okay, the record of man is lying. Now we'll see more about this, and we'll explore more about these things. Okay, we're putting away lying. Okay, which is the record of man and fables, which confirms the hypocrite. Okay, a hypocrite is one that's true to himself. And the world boasts, okay, concerning their hypocrisy, saying, at least I'm true to myself. I'm not a hypocrite as a church. Now, of course, he's talking about the false religious system. The false religious system is true to their tradition, but they're not true to Christ. Okay, but they feel that being true to tradition, okay, that they are the wheat and not the tares. Every denomination, okay, and every religious organization views themselves in the light of being the wheat, but they're not the wheat, okay, because they're just true to that particular tradition. Okay, and they call that tradition Jesus Christ. Okay, and this is, you can say, very confusing, okay, to the ignorant, to the sinner, to the wicked. Because the wicked view the false religious system, okay, as a representation of that which would be true, okay, a true religion. And so they see hypocrisy. Okay, these people are just true to themselves. Okay, being true to themselves, they condemn the weaker. Okay, but Christ does not condemn the weaker. The false religious system condemns the weaker. Okay, Satan condemns the weaker. See, that was his motive of operation ever since the very beginning, to condemn Adam, okay, and also to condemn God. But God wasn't weaker. That was a serious mistake that Satanel made, okay, when he decided to stand against the standard and plan of God. He stood against God's righteousness and God's holiness. Satan wanted to establish another standard, which was true to his own design, but not true to God's plan. Okay, Adamites received a record for the purpose of their propagation, okay, within its dimension, following the record for their own propagation. Okay, whatever craft it may be, or whatever skills they may hold, okay, or whatever intellectual standard that they have attained. Okay, that was a sign for them for the purpose of their survival within this dimension. But their survival wasn't to abandon the covenant. Okay, it was to work with God. And we can see that with King David. David did not abandon God, though he was appointed king. Okay, because that was what God's plan was for thousands of years before David was even born. Okay, this is what God prophesied of and what he revealed to Enoch, the prophet Enoch, Enoch the scribe, concerning the ram that would arise. Okay, and of course, David was the second ram. Okay, and so though this was in God's design for him, David did not abandon God. Saul abandoned God. Okay, Saul labored with that which was his own signature. Okay, and of course, this is brought out in more detail in Samuel, the book of Samuel. Okay, how this particular individual would only follow through with those things which that were in rhythm with himself. And he began to fight against the anointing. Everything that Samuel said regarding King Saul were to stand for his good. But then the Lord revealed that this was not going to work out for Saul's betterment. It's going to work out for his destruction. Okay, so wherefore, we're still talking about lying here. It has to do with the record of man, the false record. It has to do with the record of man and fables. Okay, these things confirm the hypocrite, okay, and it stands within his aspirations. Okay, it works with his aspiration, okay, his imagination, his principle. Okay, and we can see these things are the underlining powers, okay, which Satan birthed within the seventh heaven. Okay, when he affronted God, debated with God, okay, he was reflecting upon his own design as being that which is far superior. And might feel the same thing today. Okay, and so they want to set down for themselves, okay, the laws which will reflect that, okay, whether it be in money or whether it be in politics or law. Okay, Adamites would utilize these things, okay, for the purpose of establishing themselves. Okay, establishing themselves, or those things which be praiseworthy, okay, of one another. Okay, which, of course, is a very stumbling block. Okay, it's a stumbling block to them. Another way to put it, the things which they're consuming is very poisonous for the soul, which is also like the bitter herbs. So wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. See the word truth there, which has to do with charity, truth and charity. Okay, speaking charity, okay, from that one foundation, speak every man truth with his neighbor, and that's what we do now. Okay, which before we are speaking the lie. Okay, we are only identifying ourselves, and that's what the law does. The law of Moses was written for the purpose of transgression. Nay, not for the purpose of righteousness, but for transgression. It was a point to the righteous one, but not to replace the righteous one, but a point to the righteous one. Same thing with the Ten Commandments. The first commandment of the ten was that thou shalt have no other gods before me. which shows that the frailty and ignorance of man would be to establish himself, or to identify himself with something which he felt was greater than himself, an idol, for the purpose of honoring his choices. And of course, the law was given, the Ten Commandments were given, to address the weakness of ignorance. The weakness of ignorance, but not to establish Adam's choices as righteous. Because only Christ could do that by cleansing first the conscience, which he did. He removed the power of death in the conscience. And by doing that, God established a memorial and a testimony of himself within that which was frail. He established that which is in a frail flesh. So that even though we are frail within the flesh, yet we bear a greater testimony, not that of ourselves, because that's what we're crucified to. We're crucified to the testimony of the boast of man. But we're now alive under things which are reality. The reality has to do with the form of our creation. That's reality. The imagination is not reality. Gene Roddenberry did not provide a pattern of reality by writing sci-fi, writing science fiction books of space travel. That's not reality. That works with the imagination. But sinners want to build a reality out of fantasy. They want to build a reality out of fantasy, and the soul cannot consume that. The soul remains void of any substance. Faith puts living substance within the soul. That's why God delights in it, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It gives us a form of reality. We're ingesting a reality. We're eating of Christ. We're eating of him. We're not partaking of him in the imagination. We're partaking of him in reality. A priesthood, and God puts a witness for that reality within the environment where you're expressing these things, which has to do with the assembly. By the expression of this knowledge, the witness of God will be present, and this will be your crown of peace. This will be your crown of peace. And everything is within the restrictions which God assigned for your sanctification, called truth. Grace and truth. So we're putting away those things which work corruption. And now we're speaking those things which work life. Speaking truth. Every man with his neighbor. The thing is now what they're bonding and building with is by the anointing. Peter took up the sword according to the law, which Jesus pointed out to him that he cannot live by the old covenant any longer. Under the covenant, the Davidic covenant, and also that which is Moses, it was by the sword of steel. Now it's by the sword of knowledge. By the sword of knowledge, we're subduing and tearing down the kingdom of darkness. The tearing down the kingdom of darkness begins within the Jerichos of your own heart, the strongholds of your own heart. Those things which Satan built within you ever since you were born. Everything centered upon your appetites. As soon as you were born, it centered upon your appetite. When Jesus was born, the appetite wasn't that which is the flesh. It was the appetite of the spirit, by which a dimdema rested upon him, and knowledge was spoken through him upon his birth. The same thing happened with Melchizedek. When Melchizedek was born, he bore, the markings of the Messiah upon him. It was a cross. Noah and his brother Ner, identified the markings. He said he bore the markings of our hope of redemption. And that's why Jesus is is a Melchizedek. After the word Melchizedek, he bears the markings of our redemption. And he bore it within his hands and in his side. And his feet, where the nail was pierced and a spear pierced his side. That's why he's called after the order of Melchizedek and after the order of Aaron. Aaron was not crucified. Jesus was crucified. So we can see that that which is of the law, worked death. And so Peter, with his sword, cut off the ear of Malchus, which was a servant of the high priest. It's interesting that the ear was severed. And that's what happens. Those who hear the law, are deaf to grace. But the sword of the Spirit, restores hearing to the ear. As the scriptures bear out, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The law did not speak in regarding redemption. The law only spoke concerning our condemnation. Okay, and of course, that which works condemnation brings the yoke of guilt, okay, which Christ removes. Okay, and we can see that Jesus removed that yoke of guilt when he spoke to the woman which was taken in adultery. She came to the steward, and by this point of contact, he said, okay, in words of kindness and not oppression, go and sin no more. Okay, don't turn to the idols and philosophies of this world. Okay, remember that which I have spoken unto you. That's what Jesus was saying to her. Remember my word, which I have spoken unto you. Go and sin no more. Don't turn to the aspiration. Okay, which of course she was snared with. She was snared with the aspiration. Okay, as all of us were in that kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of sin, okay, the kingdom of ignorance, and the kingdom of shame. The word shame is assigned to Satan, because anything that's less than light bears the face of death, bears the face of Satan. Okay, which things God winks at or closes his eyes to. We'll go on here in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. And we'll talk more about that when we turn to 1 John chapter 2. Wherefore, putting away lying. We're putting away the tools of that first covenant. Okay? The tools of the first covenant identified the curse, but did not bring redemption, nor the cleansing of the conscience. But it spoke about our Redeemer that would come. Okay? As God inscribed in parable form throughout all his creation, the dawn would dawn, the day star would arise. And of course, we can see that God put, okay, the parable within those things, the day star and in the sun. Okay, and this was to reflect a new beginning would be forthcoming, as the changing of the seasons would be forthcoming. We're now in a season of spring. Okay, and in the season of spring, life is springing forth. Okay, the flowers are coming out. Flowers are blossoming. You can hear life within the pond. Okay, the frogs. You can see the birds are preparing their nests. Okay, a new cycle is beginning. A new cycle of life is beginning. So the winter is past, and the sound of spring, or the sound of the turtle, okay, which is brought out in the Song of Solomon, okay, concerning the song or the noise of the turtle is heard. I remember when I was in South Africa that I heard the peeping of the turtle, okay, and of course that was in springtime, and then a year later that same turtle was back again, the land turtle, okay, which had its the journey of a cycle. Okay, it would always come to that point, the same beginning again. Okay, and the turtle made a peeping sound, okay, looking for its mate. So here we're putting away lying, because now we're being joined to Christ. Okay, we have heard the sound of the peeping sound of mating. Okay, as like the sound of the trumpet. Okay, the sound of the trumpet was for the gathering together for the purpose of increase. Okay, so the children of Israel assembled together, okay, by the sound of the trumpet. Now, this is not the sound of the trumpet of God's wrath, okay, not the angel's wrath. This is the sound of the trumpet of assembly, which is completely different. Okay, the same thing, when the trumpet sounds, we will be raptured, which we will be removed from the one dimension, okay, and placed in the orb of another dimension to carry on a tradition of faith, which in this dimension we are being prepared for. This dimension, okay, is as a school. Okay, the angel of the Lord is teaching us the responsibilities of choices and rewarding our choices accordingly. Okay, as a teacher would grade, okay, your test grades or grade your papers. Okay, so the angel of the Lord also, okay, grades our processes through the cycles of our growth. Okay, with your level one dreams, particularly as he's grading your progress. Okay, what's removed, what's here, what's going to be taken away in the future. So we're putting away a cutting off and a severing or a circumcision. Okay, so the Spirit of the Lord is circumcising from us, okay, the words of our ignorance. When in the kingdom of darkness, we spoke of ignorance. We spoke of our high aspirations, okay, our goals, our self-worth, okay, our boasting centered upon, okay, those things which were, say, a point of being competitive. And of course, these forms of competitiveness, okay, worked greediness. And not only worked greediness, but also worked strife. That's not good. Okay, when competitiveness works strife, that is working with points of death. Okay, but when competitive works life, okay, that is good. Okay, and we're competing against the powers of darkness by the power of God. Okay, we're running the race. Okay, we're going to finish this course. We're going to win the prize. Okay, that crown of life. So wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth. You see the word truth there. Okay, and of course we can highlight that because it's talking about those things which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, well, what is consistent with his character, purpose, and plan? Okay, the things that he says, he does, and his product. Okay, well, what is the product? What he's working within you. Okay, so what he says, which has to do with the knowledge which you're hearing, the knowledge that you're receiving. Okay, what he says and what he does. Okay, concerning the gifts which he's provided for us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. Okay, for the purpose of this adoption. Now, last week we talked about the three different phases. Okay, black, green, and white. Okay, the conditions of souls. One has been illuminated, the soul goes from black to green. Okay, and of course there's different variations of that green, as we see in the color spectrum of a rainbow. You can see different the spectrums in that. And of course God put a sign within the rainbow, which shows this, that was the bow of his peace. Okay, after the rain. Okay, after that was after loss comes increase. After the tearing down comes the building up. You tear down a forest to build houses. You drain swamps, okay, for the purpose of sowing seed, you know, like as concerning plowing or building a farmland, grazing land. So there's a pulling down and building up. So putting away lying here, which means we're plucking up, hey, that was not useful, okay, to do some building. And we're building with truth. Okay, facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. The threefold cord. Now, if any of the strands of these things is missing, government, truth, and spirit, if a strand is broken, then the whole is weak. Okay, then it's weakened now. Okay, when it's weakened, it doesn't bear equity. It's useless. If a rope has broken strands within it, hey, it's useless now. You can't use it to what it was assigned to do. Okay, and now that you have the threefold cord in wholesomeness, okay, you're progressing in your righteousness, okay, and in the hope of eternal life. Say, so we got facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan, a new language, a pure language, okay, which we're speaking now. Now we're members one of another. Okay, we're members one another by this charity, okay, which we're bonding together. Now let's go to 1 John for a moment. 1 John chapter 2. And of course, Chief Elder John is writing these things, these letters, to those under his stewardship. Okay, these letters are not written to a random audience. Okay, he's not passing out flyers to the general public and saying that, yeah, these things are for your accomplishment. Okay, he's not setting them free. He's not just giving them, okay, a flyer, okay, or a pamphlet, okay, so that people can read it and make independent applications. That's not what it's for. Okay, but that's what the false religious system is doing. But let's go on here, verse 26, because when we talk about those, the word truth. These things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Highlighting the word seduce there. This is where the shadow of turning appears. So the shadow of turning, by the shadow of turning which will pass over your mind to draw shame to your testimony. That's the deal, that is the unconverted believers. The unconverted believer's soul knowledge, okay, which does not put substance in the heart. It might challenge the intellect, but doesn't put substance in the heart. The knowledge which we share, okay, is the bread for the soul. Okay, in other words, it's feeding the soul. Okay, it's giving life to the soul. But the knowledge of this world works death. Okay, it doesn't feed the soul. Okay, what it does, it detracts from the soul. Okay, in other words, it's like removing the moisture from, like removing moisture from an orange, okay, or removing moisture from a grapefruit, okay, removing moisture from an apple. Now you know what happens when you when moisture is removed, okay, the appearance of corruption begins to appear in it, like death, okay, death, the face of death begins to appear within it. Okay, so the seduction, the language of the world is seductive because it might challenge the intellect. Every religious system of the world challenges the intellect of the other. Okay, whether it be a Jehovah's Witness challenging a Catholic, okay, or a Catholic priest challenging a Lutheran priest. It's on the basis of intellectual persuasion. Okay, intellectual persuasion. And people that are converted by intellectual persuasion, okay, do not have their roots in Christ, but they have their roots within that tradition. Okay, but they call that tradition Jesus Christ. That's why it's so deceptive. Because they feel that the roots now, or the persuasion which they're under, okay, gives them certain direction, okay, or an activity. Okay, in other words, it's the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world corrupts the mind because it promises something but doesn't deliver it. Okay, that's the wisdom of this world. The eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. In other words, the eyes of the fool is like an adventurous young man, okay, that stands, okay, on the bow of a ship so that he can feel the wind blow in his face, like you saw in the movie Titanic. Okay, that is the face of the fool. Okay, it's an abandonment to pleasure. The face of the fool is an abandonment to pleasure. No responsibility. There's an abandonment to pleasure. So the knowledge of this world is an abandonment to that particular tradition, which they feel, okay, is giving them the freedom to choose. The only freedom they have, a choice, okay, the choice of will, okay, is by intellectual persuasion. Okay, that's not freedom of righteousness. Okay, we possess the freedom of righteousness, which means we choose righteousness. We have a freedom to choose righteousness, okay, over that which is of error, okay, which they can't do because they are shackled to that ignorance. Okay, like a shackled prisoner. The prisoner might turn from one side to another side, but they're still shackled and in the same prison. Okay, so they really don't have freedom at all, other than just the present moving about in the present location. Okay, but we have the freedom of His grace, okay, which allows us this mobility, okay, to continually pursue, okay, those things which God has set before us. Okay, so these things I've written to you concerning them that seduce you. Okay, we talked about that. But the anointing, I like the word anointing there. Okay, in other words, your faith now being sanctified by this fire. Okay, not the fire of Aaron's altar. Okay, the fire of Aaron's altar consumes his sons. Okay, Nadab and Abihu. It consumed them some, which of course was negative role models. Okay, but this is the fire of purging and perfection. Okay, which, of course, which fire is necessary? That's why on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord rested upon the heads, okay, of the righteous. Okay, but not for the consumption of the body. Okay, but for the perfection of the conscience. So, and he says, but the anointing which you have received them abides in you. Keep that in mind. Abides in you. Okay, now we're letting something take root within you, abide in you. Okay, this is by the cycles and work of regeneration, so that you can understand this mystery of the Father and the Son. And you need not that a man teach you. Now, those of the false religious system try to intellectually grasp this, okay, as concerning that they are self-taught. That's not what he's saying. Okay, if that was true, why would John now expend his time with ink on paper? Okay, and pen these things. Why even write them down? Okay, if each individual believer can take up their own belief system. Okay, and of course, God did not provide man with this the power to to pen his own beliefs. Okay, as we see and read in the Book of Enoch. Okay, God did not give this power to man of reading and writing so that he could write his own books in order to preserve his own testimony. And that's what the fallen watchers did, see? The fallen watchers wanted to preserve their knowledge. So they put it in forms of a cryptic style, which you can read on the walls of the Egyptian art. Okay, the Egyptian art, okay, is a preservation, okay, of false knowledge, which they knew. They knew that when God would initiate another judgment, so they wanted to preserve the knowledge. They preserved it in this form of painting. Okay, in this form of cryptic knowledge, in form of these form of pictures. So he says, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you not that a man teach you. Okay, because the Lord now, the true fire gives us these eyes. Okay, that's why Jesus, being our prototype, has his eyes of fire. The eyes of fire, can penetrate the veil. Okay, and the same thing, our eyes of fire can penetrate the veil. But the anointing which you see them abides in you, ye not that any man teach you. The same anointing teaches of all things. Somebody can see what the anointing does. The anointing builds with this knowledge. That's what John is talking about. The knowledge that you were given you is what the anointing builds with. Now, this is the same language as Jesus spoke to his apostles to share with the brethren. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which Jesus was speaking of, okay, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, okay, shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever. What did Jesus say? Whatsoever I taught you. The anointing is going to draw from the knowledge which I have given you. And this is what John is saying. The anointing is going to draw from the knowledge which you have heard. And this is what he says right at the very beginning. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen with our eyes, which you have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life, and the life was manifest, and we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you. Okay, from the stewardship to the church. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord, okay, and this is what is taking place in your heart right presently. Okay, the knowledge that you're hearing with your ears, okay, is what the Spirit is drawing from and packaging for your charity. It's a gift to your saint, to the saints. It's a gift to God. Whatever you give to him, you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your labor is yourself. So you're fulfilling that law. Okay, so the anointing which you have received him abides in you, and not the man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things in his truth. It's talking about the gifts, the administrations, and operations in his truth. Okay, it is setting the boundaries for this expression so you do not transgress against God or trespass against him. Okay, and this is what Jesus talked about. When you pray, pray in this manner. And he brings out this particular perspective. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Okay, which has to do with the overreaching of oppression. The knowledge which God has provided for us does not overreach. And we don't even overreach our brother, which means we do not. This knowledge is not for the purpose of oppression, okay, or for the purpose of control, or the purpose of principle. Okay, it's for the purpose of building and bonding. Okay, as fellow laborers, teach you all things. Okay, which the word all things there has to do with the gifts, the administrations, and operations. And there's no lie. See the word no lie there. Okay, and we can draw a line from the word no lie in verse 27 to verse 22 there. He says, who is a liar? But he denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist. So a lie has to do with the kingdom of his association and the perspective which is being molded within him and the gospel which he's preaching, which is a false gospel. You guys should get your sacrifices ready now. It's a false gospel, okay, which is truth, there's no lie, and even has taught you, okay, as the Spirit instructs in this manner of engraving in your hearts and minds, okay, you shall abide in him. Okay, now, Lord, you will abide in him, that when he shall appear, when the Lord provides a gift, okay, the Lord will provide a gift for your obedience. Now, Lord, you will abide in him. Okay, that means this knowledge now will settle your soul to free you, is to free you from your guilt. Okay, as the darkness passes. Now you see that in the illustration here. Okay, as looking in a mirror, a dark mirror. The veil over Moses' face was as a dark mirror. Okay, it was cloaked. It wasn't even real. Okay, it was an abiding image. Okay, of those things, okay, which are yet to come. Okay, the reality would be provided. Okay, that which is the law was not the reality. Okay, it was only that which established types and shadows until the reality become. Types and shadows, which means exactly that. Okay, it's like a shadow of a tree. Okay, we don't partake of the fruit that's of the shadow. We partake of the fruit that's of the reality, the tree. So now, Lord, you abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence, not be ashamed before him is coming. That means to reward your faith, because you choose faith. If we know that he is righteous, that is, he is our scale. You know, everyone that does righteousness, which means embraces Christ in the stewardship, is born of him, birthing this new perspective of faith. Okay, let's jump from here for a moment. Okay, about that perspective in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 8. Now here in verse 8, Hebrews 8:8, for finding fault with him. In other words, the Adamites carried the testimony of sin in the conscience. So the Lord says, in finding fault with him, he said this, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. A new covenant means he's talking about a law. The law was their schoolmaster to restrict the passions, but not purge the conscience. Because God adopts us by faith. So he says he's going to give a new covenant. This covenant is not written in stone, it's written in heart. Okay, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand, of that is the stewardship of Moses, lead them on the land of Egypt. Okay, which has to do with the knowledge of corruption. Because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord, which means, highlight the word, regarded them not. Which means I closed my eyes. I winked at them. Okay, as viewing a corpse. I closed my eyes as viewing a corpse. Okay, and of course we can see the Lord, when he says the Lord winked at them, we can read about that in Acts 17, verse 30, if you want to make a note on that one. I regard that not, which means I winked or closed my eyes. I closed my eyes at death, but I opened my eyes to life. So now we see him face to face, with open face. Now we see him face to face, the word see, which means with open face. We read about that, I hid my face from them in Deuteronomy 31. Okay, if you want to make a note on that, because of time. In Deuteronomy 31, I hid my face from them. And he hid his face from them. Okay, God didn't hide his face from faith, he hid his face from ignorance. Because of ignorance, okay, they provoked him to anger, and the world today is in that same condition of provocation. They provoke the Lord out of their ignorance. Okay, they provoke the Lord out of ignorance. Okay, but the Lord is going to establish a judgment now. Okay, to punish that ignorance, because the world has heard the knowledge. Now, in the days of Noah, they heard the knowledge. Then came the judgment. But the earth is not going to be destroyed by water now. It's going to be destroyed by fire. Okay? And the Lord is going to bring forth a judgment to remove the ignorance of man. Okay, to the point of time, okay, where the knowledge of God will flood this earth as the waters cover the sea. Let's go on to verse 10 here. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is our adoption here. So he says here, after those days, saith the Lord, I will write my laws in their mind, which means I'm going to write a new law. This is the law of grace in their mind, which has to do with a new perspective of understanding. Okay, in their mind, and write them in their hearts, the conscience. And because of this knowledge, now what has he said? He says here, as concerning an adoption, I will be to them a God. Okay, that is by this will. I, by this will be their God, and they, by this adoption, they shall be my people, a kingdom of priests. And we are a kingdom of priests today. Okay, of course, Paul, speaking by the anointing, was bringing this to the understanding of the saints here. The writing the book of Hebrews was to show the transition. So the law no longer will teach them the fear. That's what he's saying here. The law will no longer teach them my fear, because death lied to the conscience. Death lied to the conscience. But now he says, but I will now purge the conscience to fear me by a new law. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians and let's get ready to close here. Okay, that was out of Hebrews chapter 8. Now you can understand when he says here, neither give place to the devil. And you see that in verse 27? Neither give place to the devil, which means death is no longer, okay, speaking for the conscience. Because that is the lie. Death lied to the conscience. So he says, neither give place to the devil. Okay, that now our conscience is no longer speaking in ignorance. Okay, we're speaking from the foundation of truth. So wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, with his brother. For we are members one of another. And when he says neighbor here, he's not talking about the unconverted. He's talking about the converted. Be you angry and sin not. Okay, that means that the frustration is present, but to avoid the offense. Okay, the transition takes place. That's why he says being angry. A transition is taking place. After the men were circumcised, the third day they were sore. And this is an application. Be angry, but sin not. Okay, that means you're going through to the processes, okay, for the purpose of healing. Okay, so be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He's talking about regarding marking a new day. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, because when the sun goes down, what happens? The Sabbath begins. The Passover begins. The Sabbath begins. So when he's talking about let not the sun go down upon your wrath, is that enter into your rest. Okay, you enter into your rest by what? Okay, by not listening to death's lie of the conscience. Death lied to the conscience, and when death lied to the conscience, you bear the yoke and the burden of your guilt. when death lies to the conscience, you're bearing the yoke and the burden of that kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, of ignorance. So neither give place to the devil. And of course, there's where we were supposed to start there around verse 27 or verse 24 we did. We'll pick up here later, okay, next week, and we'll be talking more about these things, okay, concerning the lie of death and the conscience.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. And well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Intersek here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.